How you doing? You know, I was just thinking, on such a fine day as today, with that blue of that sky so high up above, like a pool of water that got itself upside down, and you can feel a little bit of that mist coming down to you from the sky, which is like that pool that you want to jump into and cool off, but you can't. Ain't it funny how sometimes the things that you most want, you can't get to, you can't hold in your hand, let alone jump into, just to take the sweat off your body. You know, I'm thinking about how lonely it is up here in these mountains called the Range of Light. I'm thinking about how you look at everything that's alive around you and everything that's not alive around you, and it all seems to flow from one into the other, till pretty soon you don't see much of a separation. And everything means something up here. That's what I'm noticing. Nothing is just there for no reason. It's all part of something I've been trying to figure out ever since I've been here. And everything got something interesting about it too. Got a story to tell. And if you out here, there ain't nothing that seems to be going on, it seems like something that comes into this world will attract the attention of something else that's wondering the same thing that I've just been sharing with you. Now that happened to me. That happened to me up beyond Return Canyon, a remote part of Yosemite, but to tell you the truth, most of Yosemite seems pretty remote to me. I was riding on patrol, but I was by myself this time, and I was just heading to the next post, and I heard a flutter of wings above me, and I looked up, and there was a shadow that went over my head, and then I heard the sound of that raven, because that's what it was, land on a branch in a tree right in front of me. And a tree looked like one of those lodgepole pines. I remember seeing some of them back east. And that raven just was tucking its head under its wing and then looking at me, tucking its head again, seemed to be nibbling away at itself like it was its own meal and it was time for it to feed. And the light on it made it look sometimes white, and yet it was the blackest thing I could see out there, blacker than any shadow on this earth. And yet, when it moved or I moved on my mule, I could still see it turn white before my eyes. And I just pulled the reins back, and I sat there, and I looked at the raven. And the raven just sort of stopped what it was doing, and it was looking at me. And then it did something I was not expecting at all. It started talking to me. I mean, it just squawking. And squawking, it'd look at me, and it'd squawk some more, make that sound. It'd look around me, made that sound. I said, well, how you doing, Mr. Raven? I hope your day is going well. And it just squawked some more as it stared at me, and the wind blew, and I could see the wind ruffling its feathers, and they kind of shone like you threw some diamond dust, if there's such a thing, in the air, and it broke up the light. The feathers broke up the light when the wind caught up against it. And it made that cawing sound again, looking straight at me. And after a bit, I got a bit bored by this, thinking, well, if you got something to say, Mr. Raven, just go ahead. Otherwise, I got a patrol to make. So I just put my spurs a little bit in to my mule, and I started moving on the trail. And it just flew off, and I thought nothing else of it. And then I felt the sound of wind right at my neck. And I thought, oh, breeze just picked up again. But it wasn't the breeze. It was a breeze, not from the sky, but from that raven. It flew so close to me, and it landed on a rock just about 10 feet ahead of me on the trail, looked at me again, preened itself, cleaned itself, stuck its beak all over itself, and then it just looked at me again, tilting its head, and just went, gah, gah, just like that. And I pulled the reins back again. And I said, obviously, you got something to say to me. What is it you got to say? I'm here to listen. So I relaxed the reins and held my arms down loose against my legs. And I just stretched a bit because I needed to. I'd been in the saddle quite a bit. And so I just put my heels down and just stretched my shoulders and just waited for the raven to say what it needed to say because something was troubling it. All it did was stare at me. And I'm trying to figure out, why is this raven doing this to me? I ain't done nothing to it. So we just looked at each other, and I looked at it, and it looked at me. And again, it went about kind of messing with itself and cleaning itself, and then without anything, it just flew off, just like that. And I just said, this is the most peculiar thing I can even think of. Never had the interest of a bird, a big animal like that, if you want to call it that, like this raven. So I rode on a little bit more. And I rounded the trail, or a bend in the trail, and on a low branch of a lodgepole pine, there it was, just sitting, like it was just waiting for me. And I rode right up to it, and I was just going to ignore it this time, just going to kind of keep going and just pay attention to the trail ahead of me and dust I'm kicking up. Pay no mind to that raven. And as I looked straight ahead, I heard it go, "Caw! Ah!" Just like that. And I stopped. Well, really, my mule stopped. It seemed to get the interest of my mule. My mule shook its head back and forth, looked up at the raven. Raven looked at the mule, and the mule just sort of kind of made a sound that you know mules make when they got their curiosity up. And the raven just made that "Caw! Ah!" at that mule again. And my mule just shook its head back and forth. And I said, "Well, now that you two got acquainted, can you share something with me? What's going on here?" Raven looked at me like I'd just kind of come out of the air. You know, like the mule and me were two different things. He finally saw that. And it just looked at me and said nothing. It was quiet, silent. And it was just the wind blowing past. That's just me and my mule and that raven that seemed to find something fascinating about both me and my mule at that moment in this world. And then it just flew off again. And I figured, this is something. I'd never seen anything like that. So then I just rode on a little bit more. I rounded a bend in the trail, and nothing was there. No raven. Just trees and shadow and the wind and the sun beating down out of the blue of that sky. That's all. And I figured, well, back to my duty. And I rode on. And I rode some more, and I rode on longer and further, farther still. And eventually I'm thinking, yeah, I almost forgot about that raven. And I was almost done with that day's patrol, getting closer to that cabin that I was just waiting to see around that next bend. And before I got there, sitting on a log, off the trail, was you-know-who. And it just seemed to be sitting there. And when I showed up and rounded the bend, it made that sound. And I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking, I ain't something dead. I don't think I'm about to die. But I got this animal's attention for some reason. Why won't this bird let me go? And I rode up to it. And this time, instead of stopping, I just rode right past it, looking straight ahead. And it flew off. I heard the sound, the scurry in the air of the feathers hitting the air as it took off. It flew around me, up above me, and off to one side. And I could hear it off in the distance. Ah! Ah! And then I kept riding, and I knew I was almost done with this, and I was trying to figure out why that raven was acting that way. But I don't have much history with ravens, so I don't know what they're like. I just try to put it out of my mind and just focus on my duty, which is riding on that trail and making sure everything's all right. Well, I rounded that last bend, and I saw the patrol cabin right there. And that was a pretty sight to see. And I got up to it, and, you know, I dismounted, and I got the lead. And, you know, I was just getting comfortable. You know, took the bridle off and just about to tie my horse to the post, and I felt something look at me. And I looked up, couldn't see anything. Looked in the other direction. And right there with the sun right behind it, so bright, all I saw was this dark silhouette of a bird with a blazing sun hot as a furnace behind it. And it did it again. Like it was waiting for me. Right there, like it had every stop of that way. I looked at it. And it looked at me. I says, "Well, something you want from me, but ain't nothing I want from you. So you could either fly off or stay here, but I got work to do." That's what I said to it. And I turned my back on it, and it made that sound again. And I just ignored it. But a bit later, I turned around and just looked at it. And it looked at me, and I never realized what it was like to stare into the eyes of something that had about as much curiosity as I got about the world around me. I figure this. If you riding or flying or walking or doing whatever up here in these mountains, there ain't much going on, but all you thinking about is how are you going to make it to the next day. So when you see something that you've never seen before, you see something unusual, it deserves a second look. Maybe a third look. Maybe a fourth one too. And maybe that's why that raven was looking at me the way it was. Maybe it never seen a colored soldier before. Maybe it figured from my accent. I was from South Carolina. It ain't never seen a colored man from South Carolina in a cavalry uniform. That took it into a whole new idea of who could be riding a horse or a mule up here in these mountains. So I was something new for it, and it was something new for me. And I never realized that it was just a surprise to see me. But I wasn't surprised to see it at all. But it wouldn't let me go. That's just like Yosemite, you know. Kind of flies over you, sits on a branch, squawks at you a bit, takes you in, see what you're like. Then it just flies off, but it keeps coming back to make certain you're still there. Because when something new enters the world, it deserves another look.